But this is an exciting day for this congregation. We are today welcoming home our missionary family. And we are excited about this day. We've been looking forward to this day for a long time. And in case you don't know the history, it was about 10 years ago, July of 2004, that Josh and Kara and Josiah Blackmer moved down here. Now, Josiah was not yet a year old. Sorry, Josiah, but I just love this picture, so I'm going to use it anyway. They moved down here in July of 2004, and little did we know how much of a bond and a relationship was going to grow from that point on. We knew when Josh and Kara came that they had an interest in doing mission work. And so about 4 years later, they began raising funds and making all of those necessary preparations that are needful in order to go into the mission field. And so 5 years ago, almost exactly to the day, 5 years ago, Josh and Kara, and Josiah and Vivian left to go down to work in Paraguay for 5 years. What a blessing that has been to their lives. What a blessing that has been to our lives. And here we are 5 years later to welcome them home. Here we are 5 years later with excitement in our hearts, with a family that's so dear to us, to think about all that they have experienced, to think about all that we have experienced together, and to know that they have come back here to work with us again. It would be hard to tell, to paint, to come up with a better story than the Blackmer Palm Beach Lakes story. So this morning we want to use Acts chapter 14 as the basis for our discussion of the return, the welcoming home of this great family. I want you to imagine being in Antioch almost 2,000 years ago, being in Antioch when Paul came back from being in the mission field. When Paul had come back with Barnabas from being on their first missionary tour, I want you to imagine the excitement there must have been in Antioch when Paul came back. The excitement there must have been when they knew Paul was on his way and the preparations they must have made for his arrival. And you get to the end of Acts chapter 14, Paul had only been gone for about 2 years. Here's the Blackmer family, they've been gone for 5 years. Paul had only been gone about 2 years. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 26, it says that this missionary team, this missionary family, as it were, returned from the field. In Acts chapter 14, verse 26, they sailed to Antioch, the city where it was their hometown. It was where they had been commended to the grace of God. The Blackmer family has come back to the congregation, come back to the place where they were commended to God. If you were here 5 years ago, you may recognize some of these images of how the congregation surrounded them. 5 years ago, we followed the model from Acts chapter 13. The beginning of Acts chapter 13, when Paul was selected to go, and Paul and Barnabas were selected to go on that first missionary journey, the Bible says they were set apart. The Bible says that the congregation, the church, came together and prayed for them. They laid hands on them as a sign of encouragement, and they sent them on their way with a blessing. 5 years ago, the congregation surrounded this family to express our love for them, and how fitting that 5 years ago, Josh's parents were here when they were sent off. And 5 years later, Kara's parents are here to be a part of welcoming them home. You think about sending Paul and Barnabas off on that journey. You think about sending them off on a journey where perhaps they did not know all of the places that they would go. At least we knew where the Blackmer family was going. Of course, we didn't know all the places they were going. We had no idea that Josh would end up going to Easter Island. We had no idea all the successes that they would enjoy, but we knew that in the hand of the Lord, that they would be used. And so Paul and Barnabas came back and to Antioch when their work had been completed. You know, Josh and Kara didn't just go and check out on a time clock. It wasn't, 5 years is up, I guess it's time to go back home. We're done here. They went and they've come home, not because 5 years is done, but because their work is completed. That's one of the greatest things that a missionary can say. You know, it's one thing for a missionary to be run out of town. Fortunately, that was not the case. It's one thing for a missionary. You know, Paul was stoned on one occasion. Thankfully, you know, we don't have any injuries to report in that regard. It's one thing for a missionary to be run out of town. One thing for a missionary to give up and to leave before he had intended to. It's another thing for a missionary to complete, to finish the work that he had been sent to do and to come home and to be able to know. It basically is, as is often talked about with missionaries and in some cases, that they had worked themselves out of a job. You know, the congregation down in Asunción, Paraguay is so much stronger than it was 5 years ago. So much more ready to stand on their own feet than they were 5 years ago. And much of that is due to the foundation of the work that Chris and Vicki Fry began with that team so many years ago, and how Josh and Kara and Troy and Andrea and many have been able to continue. But we're so thankful to be able to welcome this family home. In chapter 14 and verse 27, I want you to imagine this scene. In Acts chapter 14, verse 27, the Bible says, "The whole church in Antioch gathered together. And on that occasion, Paul reported unto them." Now notice how chapter 14, verse 27 says this. "They reported all that God had done with them." Paul did not talk about what he had done on his own. He talked about what God had done through him. Now, that's not the only time. You see the verses on the screen in chapter 15 and verse 4. It's the same thing. In chapter 21, verse 19, same thing. Whenever Paul talked about the work that he had done, it was never about what Paul had done on his own. It was always about what God had done through him. And when you look in chapter 14, no doubt Paul talked to them about how he had preached the gospel and how the Lord had been with him. How in chapter 14 and verse 21, he made many disciples. Do you know how disciples are made? Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission, Jesus told us how disciples are made. He said, "Go therefore and make disciples." How do you do that, Jesus? By baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Paul was able to report about the preaching he had done, able to report about many disciples that had been made, able to report about how he had strengthened the souls of those brethren. If you look at a map of Paul's first missionary journey, when he started to come back home, he followed essentially the same route on the way back that he had gone on the way out. In order that, chapter 14 and verse 22, he might strengthen, build up the souls of those whom he had been teaching, baptizing along the way. And he was able to, when he got back, to talk to them about what the Lord had done and preparing in order that elders might be appointed. I want you to think about these four things. I want you to think about these four things and relative to Paul's missionary work. And I want you to think about these four things as our missionary comes this morning to report to us about what the Lord was able to do through him and through them down in Paraguay. Josh, come and tell us. Come and tell us what the Lord, in an overview, he won't be able to go into all details, but how the Lord was able to use you over the last 5 years.
Paul would say that it's by the grace of God I am what I am. It is not that we have done anything, even in this context that says God, they reported the things that God had done with them. And so it is to God that we give the glory this morning, and we glory in a relationship that we have with one another. As we spent time in Paraguay, we came to understand more and more that relationship that Paul had with the church in Philippi as we thought of you here and you sent us off. You know, we came here to Florida and we became one of you. We learned to speak like a Floridian. We learned what an intracoastal is and not intercoastal. We learned about hurricanes, despite the fact that we were told that, you know, we didn't have them here. And we became one of you. You accepted us as one of your family. And then we were sent off in a good way. And we were going down to Paraguay, and we learned to speak like them. We learned their vocabulary. As we began to preach and teach the gospel, we got involved in their lives and personal studies. I had no idea I'd be going to Easter Island either. But for the grace of God, go I. So we learned to speak their language. We learned to drink tea like they drink tea. We learned to drive like they drive. And we learned to live like they live. And we learned to be one of them and to work among them. And to tell them that God has a plan for them too. We were thankful to be a part of making disciples. We were blessed to be included in the work of God. It is an amazing thing. An amazing thing. And you think, I'm nothing. You know, it's not about me necessarily. It's just, I'm going. I'm just willing to go. And you all played a part in that too. We would not have been able to go had you all not done your part in strengthening us primarily and sending us down there. But we were included in the work of God. We were able to teach people and take them out of the devil's snare and teach them. And the things they say where we have never heard it like this before. Because there's religious confusion everywhere. It's not just here. Even on Easter Island, you have every flavor, if you know what I mean. But when they get to hear the gospel, just the pure gospel, they say, I've never heard it like this before. And we were blessed to be a part of that and to baptize them and to help people come back to their first love. And we were able to encourage and strengthen the brethren to continue in the fight, to keep doing it. You can do this. You can do this. And that's part of what we do. It's not about us doing it. It's about, as David was saying, you know, working ourselves out of a job, saying, you can do this. I'm just here to encourage you to do what we've been commanded to do and to be the voice of God saying, you can do this. You can do this. You know, they had to fight against family. They had to fight against friends and temptations in their lives, not unlike anything that you do here. The same struggles, the same concerns, the same issues, just in a different accent. We helped train parents. We worked a lot with families. We worked with youth. We worked with couples. We worked with newlyweds. We worked with the idea of strengthening the congregation through these relationships. What does it mean to be a Christian family? What does it mean? Some of us were blessed to have second and third generation Christian homes. These people were coming out of Catholicism, coming out of other religious backgrounds that had no real instruction on what it means to be or create a Christian family, a Christian home. And so we exampled, and we taught, and we studied. We also worked with training men for preaching and teaching, helping them carry the fight. You know, they speak Guarani down there. I learned a few phrases. One phrase I learned, I won't She so wish. Basically, I don't have any money, man. I don't have any money. That's the extent of my Guarani. But these men can think and teach and preach in that language too. Better than we ever could. And so we helped strengthen and prepare men in that capacity. We also worked in preparing and appointing for elders. It's something that, as David mentioned, a lot of these things we kind of stepped into as Chris and the other group had started these things already, and they did a great job in putting this base down, and we kind of stepped in to continue that, and we studied with men and helped preparing leadership. You know, these men meet every other Sunday before Bible class to talk about the work. The first thing they do is pray. Bible study and prayer, and then we talk about the spiritual needs of the congregation first. What are we doing? We're teaching them how to be elders. And then they talk about the rake and the hose and who's mowing and who's not and that kind of stuff. But we're teaching them. Spent time empowering the brethren. We study with the men about what it means to become elders. You know, you have to start when you're young thinking about what it means to be an elder. Raise up a family. And so we start teaching about what that means. And we encourage them to take up, there are two men we encourage to take up the mantle of shepherding. And it is in their minds to do so, but on their time, on God's time. So we were blessed to be laborers together in Paraguay. We were blessed to be able to work in this capacity. And as God sees this work, he looks at this congregation and says, they work together. They labor together. The influence of this congregation went to Paraguay and has gone even to Easter Island and will continue. We were just the ones that sent, or were sent, and you were the senders. And we are thankful for this relationship. As David mentioned, this relationship that we have with you all, we are so encouraged to be back here with you all. We are so encouraged and excited about what the next 5, 10, and so on. The end of this verse said, what did the end of this chapter say? And they dwelt a long time with the brethren there. So we'll leave it at that. We are truly blessed to be among you again. God bless you.
I love the heart of this family. Josh, you said almost verbatim what you said 5 years ago. In the gathering we had 5 years ago, I wrote this down, and you said it almost exactly the same way. You said then, we know it's not about us, Kara and I. It's about us, the family here at Palm Beach Lakes, and the work we're doing in Paraguay. We're just the ones going. And yet, when you've come back, the response that was made then is the response that is made today. The church family rejoiced then. And I don't know that we can adequately express how full of joy this church is to have this family back with us. Again, I want you to imagine trying to be there in Antioch when Paul came back. And the joy they must have had of seeing Paul and Barnabas coming back. Well, here we have one of our own. Here we have a family that spent 5 years building relationships with us, and then over in the next 5 years, even in a distant land, continuing those relationships. And so we know of many of the sacrifices they made down there, but I don't think any of us recognize all the sacrifices they made. And we rejoice that they had a heart that was willing to make sacrifices in so many ways, ways that we may not even be able to quantify. And yet to do that for the Lord, and then to come back and to be with us and to be reunited together, as special friend Josh mentioned, the relationship that existed between Paul and the church at Philippi, and Paul expressed that in Philippians chapter 4, where he talked about how much they had shared together. Paul was on his journey. Paul was in prison. Paul was somewhere else. But he says, we still shared together. You were there with me like nobody else was. And he talked in chapter 4, beginning of verse 14, how they had shared in the difficulties, in the trials, in the challenges that came. how they had shared in the financial needs that the church had, how even when they had needs, that the church was continuing to respond to those things. And Paul says there's fruit that comes from that. And it doesn't just go to Paul's account. There's fruit that comes to that. And it doesn't just go to Josh and Kara's account. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, there's fruit that even goes to the church's account. That even the church itself, the one that sent, receives a blessing, but not nearly the one that those who have been sent receive. And then the church rejoices because of what lies before us. You know, I don't know if this is a pattern or not, but I hope we break it right now. As best as I can figure, Josh and Kara were in college 4 or 5 years. I don't think they were at the same time. So they were at Freed Hardeman around 4 or 5 years. They came here for about 4 or 5 years. They went to Paraguay 5 years. I think it's time to break that cycle. That five-year cycle. And I think it's okay if we break that now. And in chapter 14, the Bible talks about how they had come back together and now there was an opportunity to work together again. We've been talking over the last several months about the family youth program that we want to have in this congregation, one that we have started to develop over the last 3 years already, but one that we knew that Josh could come, that he could put into place, that could bring this church family together like never before. Sometimes we hear the word family, or we hear that expression family youth, and all we think about is a biological family, a mom and a dad and the kids. But in a family youth program, that's only a part of it. It is a broader sense of the broader family of the church family. And how thankful we are that now Josh and Kara are here, that now we can do even more together as a family. And Josh already mentioned it, but I want us to make sure that we don't overlook it. And I asked Josiah to be ready to read a verse for us. And Josiah, your dad sort of stole this from you, but I want you to read this out loud. And I want everybody to hear that two blackmers are saying this in one day. Okay, go ahead and read it.
So they stayed there a long time with the disciples.
Okay, you heard it, right? Chapter 14, verse 28. You heard it from two blackmer men this morning. They stayed there a long time. The ESV says they remained no little time. So the little time is over with. Now they're here and we've got them. And I'm not sure, you know, the other side of that is Paul did have a second missionary journey and a third missionary journey. But that's not for a while, hopefully. We're just glad they're here. And we want them to stay a long time. Palm Beach Lakes, it's a special place. It's hard to put into words. It's hard to even understand what makes this family what it is. There's something unique about the relationship between the elders and the members, between the elders and the preachers, between the elders and the deacons. There's something interesting about the relationship between the members and how we have found within this place. It should not surprise us, because God uses the word to describe His church, that we have found within this place a family. A family that has only one goal in mind, and that's to get to heaven together. There are some families that leave us They go off and move to other places, and they don't return, but they often reminisce about what it was like when they were here. And now here's a family who has left us. We knew they were coming back, but you know, when they left 5 years ago, we didn't know they were coming back here. We didn't know after their time in Paraguay that they would be coming back to Palm Beach Lakes again. For all we knew 5 years ago, when they left, they were gone. But God be thanked that through His providence, through His loving care, that He's brought them back to this place, that we might be reunited together again, and in order that we might work together. May God's blessings be upon our efforts, and may each and every one of us stand beside them. And everything that Josh puts forth is an effort to bring this congregation together. May each and every one of us jump on board. Josh is not here to work, as a misnomer is, to work only with our youth. Josh is here to work with all of the family of God to bring us closer together. After the closing prayer this morning, I hope none of you believe. After the closing prayer this morning, the elders are going to come and make a brief presentation to Josh and Kara here at the front. And then we are going to sing and pray together for just a brief time before dismissal. So please don't leave before the closing prayer. That will take place after the invitation and the closing prayer this morning. But not knowing where some of you are this morning, not knowing where everyone is in their relationship with God, we always, as a part of our service, want to make sure that each person has the opportunity to make sure you know you can be a part of the family of God. We've talked about how special this family here is. It's no different than that family was in Antioch when Paul came back. It was the Lord's church. It was His family in that place. You can become a part of the church just like the one that was there in the first century. You can become a part of God's family simply by doing what the New Testament tells us to do. The Bible says if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and through that faith, through a faith in our heart that says, I know, I believe that Jesus is who He said He was. He came and He died for me. He died for my sins. He took my sins upon Himself on the cross. But He didn't die and stay dead. He rose again the third day. And through that power of God, proved Himself to be the Son of God. If you believe that, knowing that He died for your sins, will you not this morning want to repent? I want to say, if my sins caused Him to die on the cross, I want to turn away from those sins, repent of those sins, confess the faith that's in your heart this morning, and do just as they did in the New Testament. Not any different. Do what they did. And be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's what they were told to do in Acts 2 and verse 38. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. If you have not done that, why don't you do that today? Let God wash away your sins. Let God add you to His family. And then from this day forward, determine that within that family, you will serve Him faithfully, steadfastly, immovable, always abounding in His work. If this church family here can help you in any way to get right with the Lord today, then please come right now as together we stand and sing.